Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Christina Bennett. She is a lovely young lady. I'm so glad to have somebody who is actively taking a leadership role in the pro-life movement who's not as old as I am. And happily, I have been involved in the pro-life cause since before Christina Bennett was born. But I'm so glad that there are folks in the next generations who are following and picking up the baton and running the race well. She works with an organization that is called Live Action, and they are doing a great work, an important work, even though it's controversial. They're doing a great work here in this country. So I want you to hear what she has to share today. I'm going to ask you if you would share with us a little bit of what Live Action is about. What does Live Action do?
Sure. So Live Action is a human rights organization, and we are focused on protecting the lives of the preborn children. And through social media, through Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, we release engaging content. We have videos sharing stories from former abortion doctors, going over the abortion procedures. We have stories from moms on our Live Action blog who've chosen life, who've chosen adoption. We have hundreds and thousands of compelling stories. We have different people that we connect with, whether it's on the street or at rallies or at events. And we present this information to them, this educational information to them, and it causes their eyes to be opened. And really, we're focused on changing hearts and minds on this abortion issue.
And God is using it in a wonderful way. I'm very grateful for Thank the work you. Of Live Action. So many people are not really aware of the basic facts regarding what an abortion is, and the fact that up until this recent decision, abortion was essentially legal through all 9 months because of the Doe v. Bolton decision that went along with Roe v. Wade that said the health of the mother means anything we want it to mean.
Right. It is sometimes shocking to me, the ignorance, especially now after Roe was overturned, even me seeing people on social media that I know or people that I know are in church and seeing the lack of knowledge. It's really saddening. But at the same time, I have to remember where I was before I got involved in the pro-life movement. And I'm in Connecticut. I'm in a pro-abortion state, unfortunately. And I grew up here. And I never heard abortion talked about at home. Never. Not once. Mm-hmm. And I never heard abortion talked about in any church service. So by the time I was in my 20s, I had been to multiple different churches, and I had never heard a message on abortion. And so for me, I found out in college that I was once scheduled to be aborted, and my mom walked out of her appointment. But prior to that, I had never heard about abortion. So I can understand that ignorance, but it doesn't make it any less sad. That's why mm-hmm. we do the work that we do, to educate people.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for just a moment, because your own story is so powerful, and it was life-changing for you when you found out about the backstory of your life. And that was something God used to propel you into, as you said, working for human rights.
Right. Absolutely. So when I was in college, I was visiting a church, and someone had told me, approached me, a stranger. I can't tell you who they were, but they had approached me and said, "God wants you to know something remarkable happened around the time of your birth." And I think about all the messages I've gotten from people over the years, encouraging messages, someone passing me a note, someone saying, "God loves you," or this or that. And I can't remember half of them. I mean, I don't have the best memory, but I remembered this, and I ended up asking my mom, did anything remarkable happen around the time of my birth? And she said she met an angel before I was born, but she didn't want to talk about it. And she was very serious. I don't want to talk to you about this. So I ended up letting it go for a couple months at least. And I thought, you know, I'll leave it alone. And then I came back a few months later and asked her again, you know, can you tell me what you mean by that? And basically she didn't want to tell me. She said, no, I can't. You'd hate me. So now I was even more curious because what in the world could cause my mom to think I would hate her? And she refused to tell me, but then I persuaded her and she opened up and said, okay, I met an angel before you were born. And that angel was the janitor in the hospital. It was an elderly African-American janitor who saw me crying in the hallway of the hospital after I paid for the abortion, after I met with a counselor. You know, she was there because my dad coerced her. She went to her mentor at church and her mentor said, don't come back here. You're pregnant. You're sinning. You know, I don't want you to come back here. Yeah. And she had a counselor at the abortion hospital where they did the abortion. And they were just not interested in her story. They just said, oh, this is the best decision for you to make. Yeah. But the janitor said, do you want to have this baby? My mom said, yes. And then she said, God will give you the strength. It didn't end there because she ended up actually going into the doctor's office to tell him she wanted to leave. He yelled at her and said, don't leave this room. But she ran out and she was never going to tell me. She would have never, ever told me, but God really wanted me to know. So God told me. God told me in so many words that would cause me to ask her. And then I found the story out. And so it changed the course of my life.
And I am so thankful that it did. God knew what he was doing when he spared you. God knew what he was doing when he revealed this to you. And God has used it so that you would have such a wonderful impact on so many lives and help save so many other lives. We thank God for the way that he works because he is the giver of life, which is why this is such an important thing. You folks are controversial, but even that God uses. The reason you're controversial is not only because you do undercover work, but it's because you're exposing the truth about abortion. And there are a lot of people who are hostile to the truth. Planned Parenthood has built its entire work on deception, lying to mothers, lying to Congress, lying to the public. If people understood the racist roots of Margaret Sanger's work, her work with the KKK, because as she wrote and spoke about wanting to eliminate these undesirables, by which she meant people who didn't look like her, people who had dark skin, African-American, Hispanic, as well as people who are physically handicapped, people who had other challenges. She wanted to just clean up society. This was very much the same demonic spirit that Mr. Hitler embraced and felt, you know, we can make our country better if we get rid of the undesirables. And the way to do that is imposing a death sentence on people we don't want. And so live action comes along and, if you will, throws open the curtains, turns on the light. And when the truth starts showing up, the people who have been using lies and subterfuge in order to do their deadly work are not happy. So thank you for exposing the deeds of darkness.
You're welcome.
Thank you for bringing this out in the open. Now, recently, there was a situation that you folks brought to light, and it had to do with the Washington Surgery Abortion Clinic, or Surgical Abortion Clinic, where you all did an undercover video, and then that video got released, and there was apparently a practice of giving Xanax, requiring Xanax of the women who were coming for abortions, that they take Xanax before the procedure. And talk with us a little bit about that and why that is so problematic and why these folks would not want it known that that's what they were doing.
Sure. So Dr. Santangelo is an abortionist at the Washington, D.C. Surgery Center, and we've done investigations on him before. And even just recently, some pro-life activists were involved in work outside of his clinic where they saw a medical waste truck taking away aborted babies, and they asked the driver for a box, and he gave them a box of the aborted babies, and they opened it up and they realized that there were 5 babies amongst the 115 that looked like they could have been killed in the legal late-term abortion. We named those Justice for the 5, those babies, or that's what we called what was happening. We wanted to see justice for the 5. And so we were petitioning the DC mayor, medical examiner, to investigate Dr. Santangelo. Unfortunately, they have not yet done that, but right. We decided to do another investigation with a undercover activist. And as you mentioned, she went in and she is pregnant. And so she pretended to be getting an abortion, and the nurse told her that she could not even talk to the abortion doctor until she was pants off on the table, having taken Xanax. And if you are not taking Xanax for a medical condition or anxiety or something, you're just taking it, it can cause a lot of confusion, lack of clarity, lack of thought. And that's exactly what the abortionist wanted. He yes. wanted to talk to her when she was drugged up, basically, and not able to have clear thoughts. And so tragically, I imagine that happens all of the time and people don't know about it. But we caught it on video. And so she ended up walking out of the room and making an excuse saying she had to call somebody. That's how she got out of the situation. But the nurse said it was impossible for her to even talk to the doctor unless she was drugged up first.
Well, and this is a problem because then if you take Xanax, and of course people react differently, but many people, as you say, not only are confused in their thinking after they take it, easily influenced after they take it. But it's very possible, as I understand it, that some of these women are going to be sent back to the hotel to deliver their child there rather than having the abortion completed under medical supervision.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up because that is another important part of the video where you can see our undercover activist asking the nurse about that. And she admits, yes, you may go back to the hotel and you might, you know, expel the fetus at the hotel. And she's making it sound as if it's something normal and it's not, you know, the most horrifying thing that a woman can go through, losing a baby, you know, expelling a baby in a toilet, which tragically happens, you know, all across our country with yes. not only late-term abortions, but also RU486 chemical abortions as well. Yes. And so, yes, I used to work for a pregnancy resource center, and I remember one of the nurses telling me, who also worked at Yale, how often people would come after hours. They would go to the abortion clinic, and then after hours, they'd be coming into Yale because of a botched abortion or something was going wrong, or they're, you know, delivering their baby later at home and it's very traumatizing for them. And so they rush to the hospital afterwards. And so this video really gives people just an eye-opening encounter with the brutality and the just horrific nature of what abortion truly is.
Well, and I want folks to understand that because the way that Planned Parenthood tries to paint it and the way that the politicians try and paint it, and the way the media tries to paint it is that, you know, this is this compassionate thing where we need to help women, you know, preserve their dignity and show compassion for them. So that's the opposite of what happens in a clinic. Never mind for a moment the slaughter of the unborn children, but the women right. themselves are treated like cattle. The women right. themselves are often in horrifically unsanitary conditions. And the health departments all across this country have for decades now refused to go in and check to be sure that basic health code violations are not happening continually. And they are happening continually.
Yes, they are happening. And sometimes the health officials look the other way, like they did with former abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who now is in prison for yes. the rest of his life. But there were many health officials in Philadelphia who just looked the other way because they did not want to hold him accountable for his crimes. And it happened all the time.
We don't want to look as if we're doing something against abortion, because abortion is a religious sacrament for people who are in bondage to the forces of darkness.
Right.
And that's why when the Supreme Court decided to turn things back to the states, people didn't say, well, you know, okay, I guess I'm blessed to live in a state where you can have an abortion if you want to. No, they absolutely are, I'm not going to say literally, but almost seem to be foaming at the mouth about the fact that, you know, this is going to be devastating for women. This is horrible. And years ago, the abortion center in Atlanta, where I did most of my picketing, the owner of that clinic came to see me for counseling.
Wow.
Yeah. And she didn't tell me, you know, where she worked. She just gave me her phone number and said, I need counseling, da, 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 da. And she didn't tell me what she did for a living. She didn't tell me that was it. But when we talked about this, when I called one day to check on her, and because she was having some real struggles, and she said, when she came on the phone, after I'd heard the receptionist say where it was, I said, I had no idea that that's where you work. She said, yes, I own this place. I said,
wow.
I said, why would you reach out to me? And she said, because I know that you care, and I know that you would tell the truth.
Wow, that's huge.
I was absolutely shocked. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, she had already at that point had her place raided by the police because somebody called to say that a child had been born alive and set aside to die.
Wow.
And so someone had called from inside the clinic. The police came, and when they found what they did, the police had to have grief counseling. There were almost 30 violations of, there were body parts on the floor from aborted fetuses. I mean, there was blood all over the place. It was like it was never cleaned. It looked like the pictures of Gosnell's place in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, wow.
I mean, it was absolutely horrible. So it was in that context that I'd been picketing outside and saying, you know, if people care about women, they ought to be checking these places. Because what they'll find is that women are being horribly, horribly abused there. Now, when I spoke to her and I said, you know, she said, I contacted you because I knew you care. I knew you would tell the truth. I said, why are you doing this? And she said, Pastor Wood, you have no idea how lucrative it is. She said, I give money to the National Right to Life Organization because I think that abortion needs to be stopped. She said, I know that it's killing a child. And on the days we do the procedure, I usually don't come into work. I stay at home and try not to think about what's going on at the office.
Wow.
And she said, but as long as it's legal, I know it's going to be happening and somebody's going to be making this money. And I just can't say no to it.
Well, she was honest.
Yeah. But I mean, it kind of blew my mind. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And here this woman was essentially saying she had sold her soul for money.
That is so sad. That's just so sad.
Now, I shared that in a sermon probably now 15 years or more ago at a supposedly pro-life church. And a couple of things happened. One of the women who heard me that day came up to me afterwards and she said, I wanted to get up on the pew and yell, thank you for telling the truth.
Wow.
Because the surgical center you described is the one where I had my abortion in Atlanta. And it's exactly like you said. Those people didn't care about me. They just wanted to get paid to kill another child.
Wow.
And she said, the only reason I didn't get up to cheer was because I didn't want to embarrass my family. She was sitting there with her husband and her alive kids.
Wow.
But she horribly regretted the choice that she had made and the way that she had been lied to and then treated uncaringly by that very place.
Wow.
I heard from a lot of women who were in that church thanking me for what I'd said. And I heard from other people in that church who were furious with me for having said things that would be so hurtful to women. They said that they themselves were opposed to abortion, but that for me to talk about it so callously had to make anyone who'd had an abortion feel terrible. And yeah, so
people still say that today. It's sad.
Yeah. So I was not invited back to that supposedly pro-life church for over 10 years. Now,
wow, what a shame.
Yeah, but I mean, there is so much confusion because the people who've been victimized by the clinics and Planned Parenthood, many of them are horrified by what they went through. They horribly regret what happened. And it's something we're just not going to talk about. We're just we're going to keep it quiet. Not going to go there. Don't want to embarrass anybody. Don't want to make anybody feel guilty. What they need to hear is the gospel.
Absolutely.
That Jesus came to save sinners.
Right.
And it's not that abortion's okay, but it definitely is that abortion's not unforgivable.
Right.
And as you said, you've dealt with former abortionists and they share their story through live action about what is really involved in an abortion.
Yes.
And it's heinous. Yes. It's horrible, but there's hope. There is hope because God is a God of love and forgiveness and grace, and he gives life.
Amen.
So again, I want to thank you, Christina,
for
what you are doing, for what Live Action is doing. Tell Lila Rose we appreciate her.
We will.
And know that we are grateful for the fact that when this decision by the Supreme Court was made, you all didn't decide, okay, our work is done. We're going to pack up and go home. We still have to educate people, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing. I'm so grateful to hear your story of how you were able to reach that woman and that abortion staff worker. And I guess she managed the, you know, the place. And that's really amazing.
She owned it, literally.
She owned the place. That's amazing that you're able to reach her in that way. I'm going to definitely share that story with people. That's a powerful story. And yes, you know, through our abortion procedure videos, we as well are working with four female former abortion doctors and telling their stories through our videos. And we hope that we can work with many more in the days to come. We hope that our videos and our content will encourage people to leave the industry and that they'll come over to our side and come over to what's true. That's what we
Amen.
Hope.
Amen.
But thank you for, you know, having me on and thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Well, Christina, we appreciate your coming on and are so grateful for the way that God is using you. As you said, you live in a state where it is very much pro-abortion.
Right.
And for you to be doing, you know, for me in Tennessee to be pro-life means that I aggravate some people. For you to be pro-life in Connecticut means that you aggravate most people.
Most people, right. Most people. Definitely all my elected officials for the most part, at least the ones in my city. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I am so grateful that we don't base our decisions, our conversations, our proclamations on what's popular. We go with what God says. We want to tell the truth.
Amen.
And the more the truth is told about abortion, about Planned Parenthood, about the gospel, the more people will come. I don't expect the majority of people to follow Jesus because Jesus said not to expect that.
Right.
He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation.
Right.
But he said, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. And that is the truth. We serve a God who is almighty and who is patiently giving opportunity for more people to come to repentance.
Amen.
And so I thank God he saved me. I thank God that he saved you. And I hope that you will be richly blessed in
thank
the days
you.
To come.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.